open my digital copy here. So some of you were here last week. You got to hear about my trip to Bolivia. We had a good time. And got to do a bunch of different things and help out with the church a little bit while we were there. And pastor said I could do a little more teaching today. He said less stories, so he didn't say no stories. But one thing that spoke to my heart while we were there last, about a little week, over a week ago now, man, time's flying already, was the need for the children in Bolivia. There are so many without good influence, left to themselves or working the streets. And I'm sure there are other areas in the country other than where I was that may be even worse than that. We were in one of the more financially stable cities in the country. Santa Cruz is supposedly the wealthiest city in Bolivia, but as a whole, the country of Bolivia, I believe, is the poorest country in South America. And one thing that I thought about was, even though they have what we would consider so little, when you go to a country that has less than what we would, they're financially poor, they can't afford some of the amenities that we enjoy, even like air conditioning. When I was there, we had church outside. So there's no air conditioning in the building. And they had the Sunday school in the classroom, and it was warm in there when you get all the people inside that little room. So they had the windows open, but still, airflow is not the greatest. But less distraction overall allows for more attraction or attentiveness to things. You know, when we're left to our thoughts, when we're left to think about what's going on in our own lives, and there's no outside influences distracting us from what's going on in our hearts, there's more opportunity to hear from the Lord or hear from His Word. We have children here in our country, but it seems like the distractions are greater. We have more stuff. Music is always being played. You have the TV and the games, the video games, and it's just so much that we allow in that can be a distraction to listening to the things of the Lord. When a person is left to think in the quietness of their mind, they have more opportunity to think about God. In Romans 2:15, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. And even if somebody doesn't have the written law, they still have the law written in their heart. And our conscience will bother us when we go against the conscience. Now, I know the scripture also talks about searing the conscience. You can continually reject what the conscience is trying to say. Hey, that's not right. That's not right. Even if we don't know it by a written law, inside we're like, it just doesn't seem right. And sometimes we can say no, no, no. And eventually the Bible says, sear it over as like a hot iron. And you make it calloused. And it's hard for any truth to penetrate after that. The Bolivian culture is more oriented, it seems, towards a family, is what I was told, and some of the things that I've seen. Sunday, like I said last week, is their day off from work, and they seem to spend at that as a family day. There was many families who would go all together to the park, or they would go do different activities It's hard to see that, you know, the father and the mother and all the children. Even in our country, I just don't see it as much as I saw it there. There was one little girl that came to the church where we were, and there is a lot of abuse in some of the homes, because drinking is a big thing there also. And so having the children inside these homes, you know, if the father, I don't know, maybe the mothers do too, but I'm sure mostly the fathers, if in their drunken state see an issue with their children, they can deal with them however they feel like dealing with them at the time. And it's sad to see that kind of stuff goes on, but the children's hearts are tender and they still come into the church services and they're trying to hear about God who loves them. And maybe they're not seeing that at home as much as they should. We're going to talk a little bit today about suffering the little children. So, and if you turn to Matthew chapter 19, we're going to go through, read a few verses, start in verse 13. Matthew chapter 19, verse 13. It says, "Then there were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. And Jesus said, Suffer, little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence." So if I try to do points, if you write notes. number one, precious are children. And, you know, we would probably say children are precious, but in Spanish, they always say everything backwards. So precious are children, or precious are the children. Children are precious, and Jesus loves children more than anyone. They're young, adaptable, tender-hearted many times, and influenced very easily, and submissive to authority. Children can be swayed one way or another, and because of lack of knowledge, size of strength, or strength, they are subject also to the authority over them. In Bolivia, many of the households have both parents working while the older children take care of the younger children. We talked about that a little bit last week too. Pastor Raul, the pastor of Iglesia Bautista Gracia, La Gracia, something like that, Grace Baptist Church. I heard that he grew up in a complex with multiple families that lived together, and his mother worked all the time. She would leave before he got up. She would come home after he went to bed because she worked all the time, and he hardly ever got to see his mother. And what was interesting to me was that Jacob was telling me that he doesn't even speak the same language that his mother speaks because he saw her so little. So the other families that lived in the complex, he learned their language because they were the ones that basically took care of him while he was growing up. He can probably communicate a little bit with his mom, but that was an interesting thing to me. Other families were taking care of him and probably other children that may have lived there. Sometimes they have that situation where they have multiple families grouped together in the same residence. We need to be careful with the children who are under our care, whether they are ours or in our Sunday school or amongst the community of believers or kids out in our neighborhoods. They are the next generation, and they are to hear about the grace and mercy of Christ. How good is God in your life? And are we showing them how good God is? Or are we telling them about the goodness of God towards us? David, many times in Psalms, talked about how he would tell us to tell the next generation, to tell those who are coming up, you know, of God's great works, the things that God has done, his mighty, mighty works, declare them. So we need to show them and tell them and let them be a part of what God is doing in us. If God is not doing anything in you, then check your heart. But don't push the children to the side, as we saw the disciples doing here. So who did the disciples rebuke in this passage? It says the ones who brought the children. And the question is then, who can come to Jesus? Well, Jesus said, let them come. You know, Jesus is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let everybody come. Everyone can come to Christ. The disciples thought that the children would cause a distraction. The maybe the parents or maybe relatives or friends of the family bringing these children. I mean, maybe they're going to stop Jesus from doing the work that he's doing to these people. You know, his teaching and his healing and whatever else he was doing at that time. Says you just need to go back. You know, keep your children back there and go the other way. But Jesus said, no, let them come. Let them come. Who got to decide who could come? Jesus. Jesus got to decide. If the disciples had the decision, the children would not be there. The people who brought the children, you know, take them away, so you have to go too. What understanding or cognitive abilities should you have to be able to come to Christ? You know, that's a good question. It's like, do I have to have some understanding? Do I have to be a smart person? Do I have to be a religious person? You know, what kind of understanding should I have to be able to come to Christ? Now, if we turn to Mark chapter 10, it's a parallel passage. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. It says, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. In the next passage, we'll also see, you know, that they were infants also among these children, you know, little babies and, you know, newborns maybe. They wanted Jesus to come and bless them, to put his hands on them and to pray for them. And Jesus says, don't keep them from me. You know, Jesus wanted them to come. He's not willing that any should perish. Even these little infant babies who cannot talk yet. They cannot understand, you know, maybe what Jesus is speaking on to the multitudes of people around. But he still wanted them to come. He cared for these little children. So point number two, come as children. So point number one, precious are the children. Point number two, come as children. Jesus says here, except you come, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. So Jesus was not going to refuse the little children, but he was also using them as an example. And he says these little children, they depend on their parents or the one that's caring for them. They cannot fend for themselves. They totally depend on their food, their drink, their clothing, their care, you know, washing of the filth off their bodies when they get dirty. I don't know if they had diapers, whatever they had, they changed the mess. I don't know, maybe it was messier back then with whatever they had. But, you know, they're totally dependent and looking up to the one who is caring for them. Jesus says, except you come as a little child. You know, even the ones who are beginning to speak, you know, and they're starting to walk and they're starting to do things and their hands, they're getting in maybe things they're not supposed to, but they're curious, they're learning, they're having a greater understanding as they're growing. And Jesus says, don't turn them away either. Let them come unto me. But they're still dependent upon the one. You know, my kids many times, like every 5 minutes, I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. Can I have a snack? You know, every 5 minutes. It's like, are you tired? No, I'm not tired. I'm not tired. But, you know, the kids, they look to you for everything. And Jesus says, don't turn them away. And says, in fact, you need to come just like they do. You can't even get to heaven unless you come like they do, totally dependent upon me. Just like the children are totally dependent upon the ones who would care for them. It says, don't turn them away. So, and he's taking them up in his arms and using them as an example. He's putting his hands on them and blessing them and praying for them. And then he would give them back after he would do that. I don't know how many there were. Maybe it took a while to do that. Maybe he repeated it several times throughout the time he was there. I'm not sure. But Jesus was not going to have any be turned away. Jesus said, except you come as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And many times we come as adults, maybe some teenagers, occasional younger children, with some reserve, presuppositions. And if Jesus doesn't meet my expectation, we turn and go the other way. And as we age, our sin base grows bigger and bigger. You know, the Bible says that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And they refuse to come to the light lest their deeds should be reproved. You know, little children are the same way because they have sinful hearts too. You know, when they disobey, you know, their initial reaction is either to lie about what they did or to go and hide what they did or hide themselves so they don't get found. But our hearts are darkened. We do not like to come to the light. Children seem to put more faith and trust into things than adults do many times. You know, even when I look at my kids, even when they're in trouble, you know, I try to correct them and show them what they did wrong. Leah shows them what they did wrong, and sometimes they try to deny it, but a lot of times they'll admit to it. Yeah, I did that. I did that. And they're willing to submit at that point. I was found out. Sometimes adults are like that too. You know, you have a criminal who's running and running and running, and it's tiring to the body. You know, you have this sin, and like I said, as you commit more sin, you get older, you have more chances to commit more sin. Your sin base gets bigger and bigger and bigger. If you tell one lie, you got to tell another lie to cover up that lie. And it doesn't get smaller, it gets bigger. It's more stress on the body. It's more grief. It's more shame. It's just overall a lot of pressure on the person. And you know, when you have a criminal who's been committing sin for a long time, it's finally like, oh, I just give up. Just take me to prison. was like, I can't do this anymore. at some point, we are convicted, and he says, I give up. Lord, I'm not going to run anymore. I'm going to totally commit and surrender to you. You know, forgive me. I can't do this. You know, as the little child, it says, sometimes my kids are a little stubborn too. And but when I come after them and say, you know, this is what you did wrong. Do you agree? You know, kind of thing. You know, are you willing to make it right? Type of idea. And usually they're very submissive and humble at that point and say, yeah. And sometimes you can see it in their face if they're not. So kids are terrible about hiding how they feel because it comes out on the outside. So most time with adults, we get a little smarter. We can try to fake it for a while. But you know, the kids, you can tell when they're not in agreement. Jesus says you need to come as a little child, you know, the one who's totally dependent, the one who's humble, the one who's willing. You can't get to heaven. You can't have forgiveness of sin unless you're willing to submit. My electrical device turned off. All right. So children put more faith and trust into things than adults do many times. But the problem seems to be that when Jesus exceeds our very low expectation with righteousness and goodness, and we cannot humble ourselves for the pride that stands in our way. You know, we have to humble ourselves. We have to say, I give up, I surrender, I submit. We, like I said, many times as we get older, we have these certain ideas, certain expectations. You know, if Christ can't meet those expectations, it's not that our expectations are way up here. Our expectations are way down here, and His are way up here, and I can't handle that. If His expectation's not down here, then I can't handle that. So His expectation far exceeds our expectation, and we cannot bring ourselves humbly to Him because of the pride that stands in our way. Jesus said, you must come as children. In Luke chapter 18, this is another parallel passage. So Jesus thinks that the children are precious. Jesus says, let the little children, suffer the little children to come unto me. We must come as children. In Luke 18, verse 15, we'll start. And they brought unto him also infants, and that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they that heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" And he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Now this, I was reading the parallel passages here. You know, after Jesus did all the touching of the children and praying and blessing them, it says that he left. And I believe looking at the other ones, it almost sounds like that this is a separate account from when he did that. But reading in Luke, it says that he left after this event. So I believe that this guy who's talking to him was probably there listening to Jesus. You know, he's holding the children and blessing them. And then this guy comes up and he asks the question, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Maybe Jesus was just leaving the situation. It could be that. And then this guy comes up to him and, you know, and says, "Jesus, I got a question." You know, but I believe it's about the same time. Jesus just got done saying, "Except you come as a little child, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." So Jesus thinks, hey, these children are precious, right? He says, "You must come as a child." And number three, when you do that, he says, "Follow as children." He's speaking to this guy. He's like, "What can I do to inherit eternal life?" You know, we know as if you kept the law. Obviously, from other scripture, we know you can't keep the law and go to heaven. But Jesus is trying to help this guy in his understanding. He says, "Well, I've kept all those." And you know, Jesus didn't mention the first four. And he says, "What do I lack?" He says, "One thing you lack." He says, "Sell all you have, give it to the poor. Come and follow me." Now, if the guy did that, obviously he would have had a right heart at that point. But Jesus knew that his treasures, because it says he was left sorrowful because he was very rich. His riches blinded him from coming to Christ. It was a great barrier between him and the Lord. And Jesus knew that. Jesus isn't telling us, obviously, to get rid of our treasures. But if your treasure has you, it's a problem. You know, there was many rich people in the Old Testament who believed God and trusted in God. Abraham was very rich. David was very rich. Solomon was very rich. I mean, the riches aren't the problem. It's if the riches have you, and they obviously had this guy. And he would not come to Christ as a little child because the riches was a problem to him. See, many times we want what we have and add Jesus to it. and we want to have all the things of this life plus Jesus. I heard an example from, I can't remember if it was a missionary or not, talking about other countries that worship multiple gods. India's one of them. They have millions of gods that they worship. And they don't have a problem if you have Jesus. He's just one of many. But when you make him the only God, that is a problem. Just like this guy is like, "Well, I could have Jesus and my riches. You know, I can love my riches and I could love Jesus." No, you can love Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And God can bless you with the riches you have, but you're not trusting in all the riches. You're trusting in Christ. If Christ says, "Give it all away and I'll still provide everything you need," well, you still have Christ. You're dependent and trusting in him, and he's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He promises to provide every need that we have in this life as we do so. But this guy, he couldn't do that because the riches was a stumbling block to him. And it puzzled the disciples, which are always learning too. Jesus always teaching and expounding in different situations, just like he did here. They said, you know, send the children away. You people who brought the children, take them away. Jesus said, no, let them come. I know, maybe he said it directly to the disciples. No, let them come. He says, please come, come. I want your children here. many times we say, the children are too noisy. They're too rambunctious. You know, they're messing up things. I've got breakable stuff in here. It's like, send them away. I was like, well, maybe you should get rid of your breakable stuff. Put it up on a higher shelf. And then they come in, they throw their balls and their toys. Like, stop throwing them. I have stuff in my house too. And sometimes it gets broken. But Jesus said, you know, if you will come as a little child, you can have eternal life. You can enter into the kingdom of heaven. You come to Christ totally dependent, trusting in him, seeking him for the forgiveness of sin. And many did come for that reason. There was also many who came for the food. There was many who came to see the miracles. There was many who came to accuse, to entrap with their words. Many times the Pharisees, the lawyers, they would come and try to trap Jesus. Well, if we can get him to say something incorrectly, then he's obviously not who he says he is. And it gives us an occasion to arrest him or to accuse amongst many. It doesn't stop them from spreading false rumors and lies, but it gave them a greater occasion. But obviously they couldn't do that to Jesus because he is perfect. He's the one who had the word written that they supposedly depend on to try to accuse him. He was the word that they were trying to use to accuse him. And this guy comes, you know, he's sincerely asking, I believe, you know, what must I do to have eternal life? You know, just that one thing, the extra to stand up there with all the other things that I trust in. And Jesus says, you can't do that. He knew this man's heart. He says, what stands in our way today? What's standing between us and the Lord? Now, you may be saved today. You may not be coming as this guy did, someone who didn't have Christ. How can I have eternal life? But if we look at it from the aspect of the children, are we preventing any other children from coming to the Lord? Are we like the disciples saying, you know, send them away? You know, Jesus loves them. Let them come. He says to those who are lost, come unto me as these little children, and you can enter into the kingdom of heaven also. It says, are you willing to come today, or is something hindering you? And then if you have the Lord in your heart already, are you willing to follow him as a little child? You know, when I have Olivia, you probably see me when I come in with holding her hand. She's totally willing to follow her daddy anywhere he goes. You know, and I got her little hand. Well, she got my finger. I give her my pinky sometimes. She can put her pinky all around. She got me by her finger. Like, say, come on, Olivia. Say, okay. And she'll follow me around. My kids, you know, a little bit older, I'll kindly, gently push them by the head sometimes. Say, come on, let's go. Like a mother hen and her ducklings, you know, guiding them in the right direction. You know, that's what Jesus wants to do to us. Are we willing to follow him? He says, no, I'm not willing. You follow me, Daddy. It's like, sometimes they're like that. You know, we go somewhere, they're excited. It's like, I'm going to be the leader. And, you know, sometimes Joseph will get out there and it's like, Joseph, you don't know where you're going. Come back over here. You know, we're going this way. You're going that way. It's like Jesus is like that too. It's like we try to get out in front, like the little child who's not being obedient at that time. And we says, I think I know the direction. I'm going this way. Jesus says, no, you need to trust me. Follow me. We're going this way. Oh, okay. And they try to get out in front again. No, We're going this way now. Oh, okay. And then come this way. Sometimes we have to be directed pretty much all the time. Just like little children. That's why he says, follow me as little children. He was talking to this ruler who was coming to him. He says, give up everything you have because I know it is a stumbling block to you. Give it away. Come and follow me. He says, follow me as these little children I was talking about. All we can offer to God is the frail little life that he has created and we have ruined. And he will transform us and grow us and bless us. And, you know, just like those, I was thinking about this little children that Jesus was laying his hands on and blessing and praying for. You know, the Bible says that he is ever living to make intercession for us, even right now. You know, God is praying for us now. He's blessing us right now. And if we're willing to follow him, we will not go in the wrong direction. We will not be led astray by the other things that we may face as we're trying to go our own direction. It's like, ooh, that looks good. Ooh, that looks good. But just like Peter on the water, if we'll keep our eyes on him continually, there's no way we could be led astray. There's no way that we could falter if we're depending on him as a child, we're being led as a child, we're following him as a child. But when we take our eyes off of him and we begin to, I'm going to go out in front, or I'm going to go this way, and we lose sight of the way, and the Lord has to come. He's always kind and generous. He's always showing us his goodness and his mercy. He says, hey, come over here. Let's go this way again. All right? I say, oh, okay. Just like the little ducklings, you know, just dancing around, doing their own thing. And the mother hen comes, no, come on, there's danger. Come on, we got to get over here. It's safe over here. You know, under the shelter of his wings, we will have safety. So, Jesus wants to transform us and grow us and bless us. John said in the book of, I believe it was 1 John, he says, I have no, maybe it was 2 John, I had to go look at it again, one of the Johns. He says, I have no greater joy than to see my children walk in truth. And I'm not sure if John had physical children, but I know he's referring to his spiritual children, you know, those in the faith, those in the Lord. He's writing to the believers. I have no greater joy than to see my children walk in truth. These were other believers in the faith. And as I said earlier, less distraction allows for more attraction. You know, if all we can see is him, you know, we get the tunnel vision. It's like we won't have other distractions around us. Sometimes we have to get rid of the other things. You know, this guy, he had a distraction of money. You know, if money is a problem, you know, we pray about it to the Lord and maybe shed some off of our hands, you know. If we have other distractions with, you know, maybe TV. I've heard of some people, they get rid of all TV if that's what it takes to follow the Lord. People have struggle with the gaming, they struggle with all kinds of things. If whatever it is that it's a struggle, you know, pray about it. Lord, I can't do this. I'm going to shed it off my hands. I want to have the tunnel vision. I want to follow you as a child. Less distraction allows for more attraction. And we're talking about focusing and looking to him. Eternity is drawing nigh, but let us not wait to be little children for Christ. All right, so we have precious are children. Jesus loves every little one. We should come as children, and we should follow him as children. All right, so let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word and the time that you give to us. May it be an encouragement to our hearts. Lord, we want to love what you love. We want to reject what you reject. And Lord, may we come to you as these children. Lord, may we not hinder other children from coming. And may we follow you as children. We thank you for the examples you give, the illustrations you provide. And may we learn and apply these truths to our lives and our hearts. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.